President Barack Obama is joining us this morning to make a major announcement impacting rural America. Thanks for being with us this morning, Mr. President. Can you provide some of the details for our listeners in terms of this plan?
Absolutely. Today I'm announcing the launch of my administration's rural tour. And so over the next few weeks and months, top officials from my administration, including cabinet secretaries, are going to fan out across the country to hold a series of discussions on how we can strengthen rural America. These officials will hear about the diverse challenges and opportunities facing small towns and rural communities that are so critical to the fabric of American life. And they'll share ideas about how we can help and support strong rural communities. So we're going to be having events in Alaska, Louisiana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin. The rural tour is going to be an opportunity for us to really hear from people directly and find out how programs and plans that are currently in place are working or not working. We want to know what good ideas people have that we could start initiating now. We recognize that there's not going to be any one-size-fits-all approach to strengthening rural communities because they're vastly different across the country. And that's why we want to hear directly from people so we can start tailoring things to particular communities. So the tour is going to kick off on July 1st. Joe Biden's heads up to Wattsburg, Pennsylvania, with Secretaries Vilsack and Locke to discuss the issue of rural broadband. This is something that we placed a lot of emphasis on because obviously it's a critical infrastructure for the 21st century. Towns with high-speed internet service are going to be more economically competitive and are better able to provide educational opportunities and healthcare services than those without it. And so we're really going to be focused on that on the first meeting. And in our Recovery Act, we put a lot of investment in broadband, but that's not going to be our sole focus. We're going to be focused on rural development, on conservation, and other important priorities. And we have already provided, for example, $800 million in the Recovery Act to help make rural America a leader in green economies. And we also put another $700 million in mandatory farm disaster assistance. So overall, my budget request for 2010 is seeking $61 million in five key rural development programs, $42 million for rural education, $73 million for rural health, $250 million to support energy efficiencies and increase national renewable energy supplies. So in combination with the rural tour, we're also beginning to implement many of these rural programs that we talked about during the campaign and that we now have in the pipeline, and we want to make sure that they get to the communities.
Now, you've been a strong proponent of renewable fuels, and how big of a role, I know you mentioned it's part of this plan, but how big of a role will it play in the long-term profitability, do you think, of American agriculture?
Well, I think it's going to be critical. I think there's huge potential around biofuels. Obviously, I come from a farm state, Illinois, and ethanol has been a big boon to a lot of rural communities, really making the difference between profitability and not making a profit for a lot of farmers. But what we also are recognizing is that the key for us is going to be to move into the next generation of biofuels. And how can we use wood chips and refuse and switchgrass and a whole other set of biofuel standards, and how can we improve the efficiency of first-generation biofuels. And farmers are going to be critical to that entire process. We want to be able to compete with countries like Brazil that now are running basically their entire automobile fleet on biofuels. And if Brazil can do it, there's no reason why America can't do it.
I also wanted to ask you about the sweeping climate change legislation that passed the House on Friday. Certainly, there are skeptics saying that the costs are going to greatly outweigh the benefits for American agriculture. Do you have a cost estimate in terms of how the program may impact individual farmers?
You know, I don't have a cost estimate for individual farmers, but I can tell you that Colin Peterson, the chairman of the Agricultural Committee, worked extensively on this legislation. We ended up with $5 billion going to farmers in a variety of ways so that they're going to be able to take advantage and profit from our efforts to reduce global warming, everything from incentives for tilling and in different ways and conservation, reduce energy and fertilizer use, incentives for them to be able to take advantage of siting wind power on their acreage. There are going to be a whole host of opportunities for rural communities to profit, even as they're helping to achieve America's energy independence. And so we're very optimistic that this is ultimately going to be a advantage for agriculture. I know there were concerns that were raised about whether somehow this was going to be some big bureaucratic mess that impinges on farmers' abilities to work their land. I think Colin Peterson did an excellent job, and we are going to continue to work with all the farm communities out there to make sure that this is a boost to rural economies.
Great. Mr. President, since your administration has taken over, the Environmental Protection Agency has released several proposed rules that may have an impact on agriculture, and certainly there are some farmers that are concerned about the burden of increased regulation on the industry. Is that a concern that they need to have?
I really don't think so. There's always fear out there about what regulations will mean when you have a new administration coming in. And farmers, understandably, are concerned because times are tough right now, and things are tight. But if you look at the approach that Secretary Vilsack has taken, the approach over at the Department of Agriculture, if you look at how the EPA has operated, what we have tried to do consistently is to make sure that agriculture is consistently consulted on any regulatory item that may come up. So we were talking earlier about the climate bill. There were long negotiations, and the bill grants the Department of Agriculture, not the EPA, the authority in overseeing programs that will compensate farmers and other landowners for projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions. As your listeners know, USDA has a strong relationship with farmers. It's well-positioned to understand and implement programs that will reward projects with carbon offset credits. And these credits will be able to be sold to businesses or factories that need additional credits and revenues. That's just one example. When it comes to other regulatory issues that come up, my commitment is to make sure that we are always consulting with the folks who are going to be affected. Let me take another example. I know farmers are concerned about recent announcements regarding animal identification systems. Well, this is a work that's in progress. It's clearly a sensitive topic for a lot of farmers and ranchers. We need to ensure that we have a workable animal identification system in place that recognizes the unique characteristics of different types of farms and protects sensitive information. It's feasible for family farmers. So USDA has been holding a series of listening sessions around the country to solicit feedback. And that feedback is going to help inform how we do this in a way that isn't burdensome on farm communities.
Mm-hmm. And, Mr. President, we've seen bailout plans this year for the nation's banking industry, the nation's auto industry. Is it possible we could see a similar plan for the nation's livestock producers, I guess specifically hog producers, that were unfairly impacted by the mislabeling of the H1N1 flu as swine flu?
Well, we're doing everything we can, not only to correct the misinformation that was out there, but also to make sure that on the international trading front that we are not seeing other countries try to use this as an excuse to prevent pork exports into their countries. And so, you know, we're going to be working hard. My preference, obviously, is to not use a bailout, but rather to make sure that good information is out there and that the market works as it should. And we will work diligently with livestock producers to make sure that they aren't adversely impacted by what's a broader public health problem.
You bet. President Obama, I know that you have a busy schedule. We want to thank you for the time that you've given us and our farm listeners today.
Appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, Michelle.
It was a great honor, President.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And again, that's President Barack Obama. For National Association of Farm Broadcasting, I'm Michelle Rook.